Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With cybersecurity solutions from Vodafone, your business can hack off the hackers. See vodafone.ie/business.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to Tech Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll look at how many Europeans are leaving X and why. Plus, I'll bring you inside the incredible operation that is Citywise, looking to keep young people engaged in education. As always, you can email the show techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. But I want to start this week with X. We have new figures that show that the platform has recently lost around 10% of its European base. This is not surprising to me, but we will delve a little bit deeper now with Emmett Ryan. Emmett, how are you?
Pretty good, Jess. I would say I'm enjoying the good weather, but the adjustment with the pollen has been a fun one this week for some people, put it that way.
Yeah, I am right there with you. My eyes have been streaming twice this week. People have asked me what I was crying for, and I wasn't crying. It's just the sun. So there we go. But I wanted to delve a little bit deeper into these figures. So as I mentioned there, the top line is that the platform has lost around 10% of its European base. Before we get into the why, it's interesting to get figures like this because we haven't always gotten such detailed information from the platforms on not only the number of users, but the location of users as well.
We really, really haven't. And like you said, like we, you know, quite often they will find ways to sort of, you know, to fudge, to make them a bit nicer than they ought to be. But this is fairly transparent, which is not the norm, particularly with X, formerly Twitter. You know, I wouldn't say they are alone in being, you know, avoiding doing it. They're probably best known for it, you know, of all of them. So yeah, it is quite the surprise, is the simple way of putting it, that we have numbers to work with.
Yeah, and this is one of the good sides of the Digital Services Act. This is part of one of many new things that have come from the EU over the last number of months, the Digital Services Act, and it has given us a pretty stark view of what's going on. So, for example, since last August, the platform has lost around 11 million European users. So it seems that French, Polish and German users have the biggest exodus. Why do you think it is?
So first off, with those three, obviously it's worth bearing in mind that they are three of the more populous nations in Europe. So they will naturally have larger, you know, counting stats, so to speak. But the reason, quite simply, and it's what I've been saying for a while, is you can talk about all the assorted issues with, like, you know, the hate and the, you know, other stuff on it, and obviously the personality of Musk, but the combined factor of all of that is the platform just isn't as fun to use as it used to be for a large number of the user base. And that would include, by the way, some of the people with those sort of, you know, shall we say, controversial views, because interaction isn't what it was, and it's a platform that utterly thrived on interaction. And simply, you and I seeing each other's tweets, like two people who, you know, get along, I think, and I like you anyway, you know, for me, seeing a Jess tweet, it's far less easy than it would have been, shall we say. And, you know, that's the way it is for a lot of people. Just because they, you know, massively cut back when Musk took over. That was well documented. And because, like, well, what are these people doing? Well, it turns out they're the reason you have so many users. The short version, they're keeping it all sane and user-friendly. And the users are the product in many respects. Like, and if you're an advertiser looking at this, you're kind of going, you know, especially if you've already divested, it's like, well, I'm sort of seeing the argument being made for me that I was right to divest, because from a commercial perspective, this is pretty bloody awful.
Yeah, and I think it's important to sort of wind the clock back to October 22 when Elon Musk took over. We know that there was an awful lot of a will they, won't they when it came to him taking over. We know that things got very contentious. And then we know that within a matter of days of taking over the platform, he made dramatic shifts. So he let go of an awful lot of people. The trust and safety team took a hit. A lot of people working on the policy side took a hit. There were the changes to the blue tick, the verification process. And one of the things I've been thinking about over the last few days in relation to this, Emmett, was, you know, not that long ago, so maybe 5 or 6 years ago, people would sit down and watch the Late Late Show here in Ireland and live tweet their reaction. Now, a lot of them were hate watching and having a bitch and a moan and whatever, but it was the place for that communal connection around things like the Late Late or a big sporting event or whatever it may be. And that did change dramatically as a direct result of the actions that Elon Musk took in those early days, because all of a sudden, the algorithm, as you correctly said, wasn't showing the people that you had connected with and your little community that you had built on Twitter. It was showing random people. You weren't getting the same reach on your tweets, which meant you weren't getting the same engagement on your tweets. And it got to the point of, sure, why would I bother?
It's literally it. Like I've been saying since that day in 2022, the fear wasn't that it would be too aggressive a place, like that people would leave out of spite. The greatest fear for Twitter, from the start, with any tech company, just to be clear, much worse people hating you is people not caring, apathy, user disinterest. That is much, much harder to combat. And that's what's, you know, showing in these results, is that it has happened. People just don't enjoy using the platform anymore. Like, you know, there is this sort of thing of, oh, well, Musk came along to right the wrongs of the platform. Here's the thing. This platform was and is and always would have been, had he not taken over, commercially driven. All the assorted things people didn't like about Twitter were designed to optimize its ability to generate revenue. That included making it easier for you and I to engage, for everybody to engage, for people to find the people they wanted to find, and also naturally for advertisers to feel that they were dealing with a market that actually was heavily, heavily, heavily engaged on that platform. And, you know, that's fundamentally, like, it is a business. It was a business before Elon Musk took it over. It was going to stay a business. Like, it wasn't some, you know, social joy thing. And bottom line was that they were moving that business towards a position where, you know, it was already profitable in some quarters. It had been obviously famously unprofitable for most of its existence. But to a point where it was actually being sustainable. And that involved an enormous amount of work, an enormous amount of refinement. And Musk just said, let's get rid of that. And basically, you know, here we have the commercial disaster that it is today.
I find it fascinating that back in 22, Musk was saying that he wanted it to be kind of the town square where everybody was given a voice. There was no real curbing on what you could or couldn't say, all of that stuff. And it sounded like I do think that levels of moderation are good and should be welcomed, but I got what he was saying. But my experience on the platform was actually the opposite. It was that if you were just trying to share a nice latte that you had in a local business, nobody would see that because it would be drowned out by the hate, the aggression, the anger. And it seems like they were given a megaphone while the rest of us were kind of put down to one on the volume. Has there ever been any explanation or understanding as to what exactly went on behind the scenes? Was it just that the foot was taken off the brake in terms of moderation, therefore the madness naturally got amplified? Or I still don't understand the exact chronological order of how things shifted and why.
The problem was the foot was taken off the brake on quite a few things and put on, you know, the accelerator and a few too many things. So, like, the brake came off, you know, not just sort of the safety moderation, just to be clear, but also the, you know, the overall algo for, you know, ensuring what was coming through was similar interests, essentially. So, like, making sure, because it was highly controversial, or shall we say, all in that make the big sort of, you know, political speech stuff, that tended to get more prioritized with the accelerator, whereas the lattes didn't. And the lattes, people might go, well, come on, that's not important. The problem is, for Twitter, that latte photo was really important, like, because it was allowing it to compete with your Instagrams and the like, get some of its traffic. And, like, people would often, like, share the same photo, say, on Twitter and Instagram. And Twitter basically was deprioritizing that huge chunk of traffic, which was, it turned out, quite a large part of their user base who did not want to engage on the heavy stuff in life, shall we say, because, you know, people like to talk about different things during the day. And so it turned out that sort of turned that off, and people were kind of going, well, if I'm not going to go there for that, am I really that bothered going there for all the heavy stuff when I can just, you know, read the news or go somewhere else where, you know, it's more specialized to that to begin with. And then naturally, like you said, like the blue tick change, where it went from being, well, this person's meant to be an authority in this, to this person paid for this. And when they brought in the paid model, it naturally also meant that those who were paying were going to get more prioritized than those who weren't, because it was seen as, well, they're not paying, therefore they aren't important. Whereas kind of going, no, they're not the customer. This is what we've been trying to say to you forever. The customer is the advertiser. The user is the product. Like, again, I'm being cold and callous here. And if you're basically charging your product to be your product, the product's not really going to care. You know, and it's like, and again, apathy. Apathy has long been the greatest risk for anything that relies on the users being what makes it interesting. It's why TV shows fail. People don't want to watch it. It's not because they hate it, it's because they don't care about it. This goes back generations and generations of media as we know it. And Twitter is learning this, well, X, sorry, is learning this the very, very hard way.
But I know that by the time I leave the studio today and I open the techtalk@newstalk.com email address, I'll have at least 5 emails from people telling me that I'm on an anti-Elon Musk agenda and, you know, these figures are exaggerated or I don't understand and get the whole point of the shift of Twitter and all the rest. But these are facts. Like, this is data that has been published and it shows that people are leaving the platform. And I would say that I don't think it's to do with Elon Musk as an individual as much as the changes that we've just outlined there. The whole functionality of the platform changed. And as someone who works in a newsroom, you know, I used to have X/Twitter open on a tab on my browser all day long, watching what was going on, watching for breaking news. And it just became a big hodgepodge of stuff. It turned into something like Reddit, where, you know, random things that you weren't necessarily interested in were being posted. Yeah, you might click on one or two, but for the most part, it was just a cauldron of crap, for want of a better phrase.
Difference there, though, of course, is Reddit. It's navigable, whereas Twitter isn't really. Like, this is the thing, is like, for the people who will be sending you those comments, I'll point this out to them. You probably had more fun when you had more people who you were disagreeing with to argue with, didn't you? And that's kind of the point. It's not that those people are, feel, oh no, we've lost the argument, whatever. They don't care about the argument anymore. That's the problem. They've given up, which is far more boring for you. And that's the real issue, is that, like, because I'm obviously a lefty, but I'm looking at this from the commercial, fiscal, right-wing perspective here. I'm attacking very much from the economic right. This is bad business, as in, this is not how you make money. If you're driving the product to not want to be the product and remove itself from the shelf effectively, that means the customer, the advertiser, is not going to want to pay for the product that no longer wants to be there.
Yeah, now look, it's still worth noting that there's 95 million Europeans still on the platform. It is down, as I said, at the top, but there are still people there. What do you see as the future of this platform in particular? Do you see it continuing down this road? Because I don't think Elon Musk is the sort to change in his ways, particularly as Europe continues to try and put manners on the platforms in this part of the world anyway, for sure.
I mean, like I said, I never thought it was going to be a rapid overnight. Oh my God, or I'm leaving Twitter. Like, anyone who announced they're leaving Twitter is the last person I think is going to disengage, by the way, even though quite a few of them did. It's the ones who don't announce you've got to worry about, is the short version. And there's, like, clearly millions of those out there. Like, the big concern for Twitter is slow degradation. And the more it degrades, the fewer advertisers you have, the less they will reinvest back in the product, and the cycle will continue. But that doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be a clear winner on the backside. Like, many of these users might just simply not really use the other platforms they were using as much anyway. They might just use platforms as a whole, fewer. So you mightn't say, like, say, I'm just going to use any of them. Like, so Twitter's loss may not be Instagram's gain or TikTok's gain. It may just be Twitter's loss.
Yeah, and I suppose the reason I'm finding this particularly eye-opening at the minute is because obviously we're still waiting for a decision to be made on the future of TikTok. So we know that President Donald Trump has extended the deadline for the platform to be sold. We had heard, I think it was Bloomberg reported, that they were very close to a deal being done. But then when Donald Trump announced significant tariffs against China, the Chinese side said to pull that deal. What do you see happening there? Like, is this something that Elon Musk could end up buying as well and doing what he did to Twitter, to TikTok?
Well, see, oddly, the reason I don't think Musk is going to buy TikTok is purely because I don't think he's that interested in it. There's definitely a personal interest factor with the projects he invests in. So, it's Honesty is a redeemable quality, I will say, and I'm very rare to be nice to Musk, but I don't think he's that interested in it, so I don't think he's going to buy it. But broadly speaking, this does feel like a song that never ends because there was like close to a sale deal on TikTok the previous Trump presidency, and I think there was a couple of times it was mooted during the Biden presidency. So I'll believe there's a TikTok sale happening when it actually happens.
Okay, so for the moment, where is the future of social media? Is it all going to sit within Mark Zuckerberg's camp? Or is there a new platform that's going to bubble away? Or will Elon Musk fix Twitter?
I don't think Musk, at least for the foreseeable, is going to fix Twitter because I think he's too convinced of his own being right, which, we're all in the end of the day victims of people who think they're right. That could often be ourselves. When it comes to future socials, well, I think it's going to be more scattered. Like, I think TikTok is going to continue to grow until it's for unless it gets forced off. And even then, it looks very strong. Like, Instagram obviously has been working away in its position, but it appears to have plateaued in growth. It doesn't necessarily, so even if TikTok gets banned, don't immediately assume it's a huge gain for Instagram. Like, most of the Meta products are largely at a plateauing stage. So that does imply room for another one to build, but the problem with any of these, when it comes to room to build, is they all depend on critical mass, and predicting what and how will get critical mass. Well, if I had that, I'd have Mark Zuckerberg money.
Yeah, I think I still do feel a little bit sad for the good old days of Twitter being gone and that communal, not quite sitting around the fireplace, but everybody just being in one clear, concise place to share their thoughts, their views, have debate, have a few laughs. It's definitely more segregated, and I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. And I can't envisage it going back, any of the platforms being the centralized place where, regardless of your age or your qualifications, you were given an equal footing in a conversation. And to me, that is a little bit sad.
Although, sure, we can all go on LinkedIn and talk in really, really over the top language instead now, I suppose.
Well, there's a hopeful note to end things on. Emmett Ryan, as always, thank you so much.
Jess.
Yeah, let me know what you think. Are you sad that that era of the internet is over? Is it over? Am I wrong? You can email me techtalk@newstalk.com. I would love to know your thoughts. Speaking of TikTok, on Friday afternoon, the Irish Data Protection Commission announced a huge €530 million fine against TikTok, and they also ordered corrective measures following an inquiry into transfers of EEA user data to China. This is, again, a significant amount of money. We have a quote here from Graham Doyle, who's the DPC Deputy Commissioner, and he said, "The GDPR requires that the high level of protection provided within the European Union continues where personal data is transferred to other countries. TikTok's personal data transfers to China infringe the GDPR because TikTok failed to verify, guarantee, and demonstrate that the personal data of EEA users remotely accessed by staff in China was afforded a level of protection essentially equivalent to that guaranteed within the EU. As a result of TikTok's failure to undertake the necessary assessments, TikTok did not address potential access by Chinese authorities to EEA personal data under Chinese anti-terrorism, counter-espionage, and other laws identified by TikTok as materially diverging from EU standards." That's a pretty strong statement. This will be very interesting to watch, to see how TikTok responds and to see if there is any talk of this massive fine in America as well. But yeah, it's definitely one to watch. Jeez, it's never a dull moment, is there? Right, when we come back here on News Talk, I'm going to bring you inside Citywise.